gets excited for the cantata. I don't know what will. That's going to be a blessing, and that was definitely a blessing. I appreciate that. When Brother Danny got up here and had a hard time getting the tune, that reminded me, when I was an intern, of course, they always try to teach us at Bible college to be ready for anything. You may have to lead the singing, and they say sometimes you can dribble a basketball, you know. I'm pretty good at that one, but I just never felt peace about doing the basketball thing, so, you know, and I, you know, kind of get one of these going, and that's about the only one I could really remember. That was it. Other than that, I was done. So we had to make sure all the songs, what was that, 3-4? Where's the Brother Denny at? Is that 3-4? So don't ask me to leave the singing here, okay? But anyway, so we had a great, when I was an intern there, we had a couple interns, real good interns there at the church, and Lawton Street Baptist, was that honey? Lawton Street Baptist. And so we had a great guy. He was gifted, man. He could play the mandolin. He's kind of like Spencer. He could play the piano. I mean, he could do everything. So he was pretty much the guy who did all the leading singing. Well, he was sick one time, and they said, you have to do it. And so I'm like, all right, so I'm trying to follow, pick some hymns. Well, I picked a hymn that I thought I knew, and I thought everybody else knew. But when I got up here, I realized I didn't know it. They didn't know it. That was not fun. That was not fun. And when Brother Dave was talking about Brother Shelton being a quarter of a century, I didn't even realize I'm almost a half a century.
Three quarters.
You got young, Brother Shelton. 3/4 of a century. Sorry, thank you, Johanna. And I realized I'm almost he got young. He's like, man, I'm 25. Almost a half a century. That made me feel real old. I mean, I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to handle the 50-year-old thing coming in April. But boy, when he said 3/4 of a century, it was a half. So anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed the snow. I know some are snow people, some are not. I am usually one of the like snow people until I came to grips that it was time to shovel. And I looked at my driveway. It's long, about 50 yards. Well, you know, the boys are at the age now where I'm starting to really teach them that, you know, what work is and what hard work really is. And I got out there and I realized, you know, the snow was kind of one of those wet. We had freezing rain, so it weighed a ton. So I thought, well, I guess I'll take it easy on the boys this time out. And of course, when I was halfway through it, I thought that was a really bad decision. But then I got almost done. I mean, I'm like really about 10 feet from the car. Here comes Tommy out with his snow stuff out there, you know. I'm like, I'm almost done. What are you coming out now for? He's no dummy. He probably waited until Dad was almost done. Oh, I'm going to go out and help Dad now. So that was a treat, seeing Tommy out there trying to lift the snow. And he was like, this is heavy. I'm like, yep, welcome to hard work. So anyway, but I'm sure we got more to come. I heard Pastor Herm, boy, I heard he was talking to somebody about getting 6 inches here, and they said they could hear him smiling on the phone. So maybe next time he can come out and help me shovel. I don't know if he'll be smiling so much next time. All right, we are already in Luke. Thank you, Brother Lynn. Appreciate that. As we talk about being the one, being the one. You know, Thanksgiving is definitely one of my favorite holidays. I'm going to walk around my bebopping with these things. I'm going to have to try to watch myself. And Thanksgiving's one of my favorites. I talked to someone else who said that, she said that Thanksgiving was definitely one of her favorites because there isn't the commercialism, and that's true. And I think when we really think about Thanksgiving, you know, why is Thanksgiving one of your favorites? And for me, obviously it's the food. I love me some turkey and some mashed potatoes, and Beth and I were talking about what we like better. Is it the mashed potatoes and gravy or the stuffing with gravy? And I think for me, it was the stuffing. Some people might be the mashed potatoes, but the stuffing with gravy is, you know, and then, of course, the pumpkin pie. You know, we just love Thanksgiving for a lot of different reasons. You know, we get to see family again. Sometimes we haven't seen these particular family members since last Thanksgiving or maybe last Christmas. You know, and then also, you know, something else I know a lot of people like about Thanksgiving, it's the day before what? Black Friday. All the women shopping. They already perked up. Now they're all awake. Although I just said Black Friday and all the women woke up. but something I never thought I would ever see on Thanksgiving is pre-Black Friday. I never thought I'd ever see stores open on Thanksgiving, and now it's like, hey, listen, come out, eat your bird, and then go out shopping. Never thought I would see that. Isn't that counterproductive? You're supposed to be spending time with the family. You're not supposed to be going shopping, but they do it. They jump in the car, boom, they go shopping. Well, for all those reasons I just mentioned, hopefully we like Thanksgiving because it is a day to be thankful for all of our blessings. Outside of family and food and Black Friday, hopefully we spend some time thanking the Lord this Thanksgiving for our blessings. When we met with the Word of Life group, Rich and Jane talking about the trip, the mission trip coming up to Panama in April, and you know we were talking about past mission trips that we had been on, and some things that we really remember. And for my wife and I, we actually just kind of did our own mission trip. You know, my brother-in-law Steve was a missionary in the Dominican Republic, been there for several years. I guess at that point had been, you know, maybe 12. And so we went out and we took the girls. I was in Bible college still. I was a junior. And we said, let's go on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. Show the girls. The girls were, I think, 9 and 6. I got nines. I guess I got the right years. Good. And so we just did our own mission trip. So we went and we sent letters out to our home church at Fairwinds Baptist, even though I was in Pensacola, and got support. And so as a family, we jumped on a plane and went to Dominican Republic. And one of the things that really, I think, hit, if you've never done a mission trip, and I'm going to say this maybe first, if you're struggling with realizing how incredibly blessed we are, no matter what economic or financial state we are in, still how incredibly blessed we are, do a mission trip to a third world country. Because we went to the Dominican Republic, and I saw kids come to youth group barefoot. And it's not because it was hot. Not because they thought it was cool to be barefoot. It's because they didn't own a pair of shoes. We went to another part, and Steve drove me around, and we saw some houses of some famous baseball players, because, you know, they, a lot of times they're in Dominican Republic's really well known for baseball, and so some of them were professional baseball players, and they kept a house in the Dominican Republic, and it was just this phenomenal, gorgeous house. And then he took me to a part of town, and he said, walk across this bridge. It was a bridge across this little creek. He said, walk, and go take a look in there. And I had a camera in my pocket. It was probably, you know, $400 or $500 camera that my brother-in-law loaned me for the trip so he could take pictures. And I walked into this little village, and I saw houses that were put together by pieces of board and tin. If you ever made like a card, you know, a card house, you know, whatever, that's what it looked like. I saw babies walk out with no clothes on, no diaper, dirt all over. Little babies walk around. So if you really need a little bit of boost of how blessed we are, and how thankful we should be, take a trip to Panama. Talk to Rich and Jane. You know, go out on the trip to Mexico and see what it's like. Now, again, these, you know, not always are, you know, New Mexico's not necessarily third world, but I'll tell you what, you can go to some places in the country, it seems like that way. I took a team to a mission trip to Harlingen, Texas, which is about 20 miles from the Mexican border, and it's almost like going to a third world country in some areas. We are definitely blessed. We have family. We have friends. We have our salvation. So what is being thankful? What is being thankful? Being thankful is this: expressing gratitude, appreciation, and relief. Expressing gratitude, appreciation, and relief. And, you know, it's really, when you think about it, it's a mindset that we should have all our life. All our life we should have that. Not just on Thanksgiving, but every single day of our life we should be expressing gratitude and appreciation, sometimes to others, but definitely to the Lord. Amen. You know, don't you love doing a kind gesture for someone? helping them out some way, or maybe holding a door open for someone, and they don't say thank you. And in our flesh, what do we want to say? You're welcome. And in our flesh, you want to say that, right? And the Holy Spirit says, no, that wouldn't be Christian-like. Don't say that. But unfortunately today, you know, we live in a society that's ungrateful. But on the flip side of that, how special is it when someone does give you a genuine thank you? You know, you do a kind gesture for someone or you help them out in some way, and maybe with tears or a smile, you get that genuine thank you. But unfortunately, like I said, we live in a society that is very ungrateful. Many expect everything to be given to them, and unfortunately, I think the government is largely responsible for that. I don't know how many of you remember the primaries, the presidential primaries. And my family and I, we were tuned in. You know, Marco Rubio was my guy. And I got emotional when he had to bow out. But we'd still reluctantly watch the Democratic debates. Oh, sorry, I don't know. I hope everybody here is Republican. But we would reluctantly watch Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and they were the only ones because the Democrats said, we want one of these two, so everybody else just get out of the way. They're the only ones that had the funding, I think, anyway. It was comical to me to see what they were giving away for free. They wanted to give everything away just to buy a vote. Listen to the freebies that they offered during their debate. Free college. Free paid family leave. Free health care. Free in-state tuition for illegals. Expanded Medicare for all Americans. Childhood education. Higher minimum wage. Prescription drugs. And expanded Social Security. They were trying to give away everything. Well, who pays for it? We do, right? We do. Our society has produced an ungrateful, unthankful attitude. But this may be true in the case of society. It should never be true in the case of Christianity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for your word that we can glean from. There are so many stories in your word that we can draw from, or we can really appreciate being thankful, being the one. Maybe out of a group of 10, the one that is thankful and grateful for our Lord. For everything that he does in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, we would remember all throughout this week, but even greater than that, all throughout this year, all throughout our lives, that we need to be thankful. I appreciate Thanksgiving because it's a time when we really just stop and focus on being thankful. But my prayer is that we would go out of here saying, you know what, I need to be thankful every day of my life. And not only do I need to be thankful, I need to express gratitude and appreciation to my Lord. So Lord, I pray that you'll have your hand upon me this morning, fill me with your spirit. And I pray that something said today would be a blessing. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to our text, Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now take a mental note of that. That stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, it's easy to look at this passage. Sometimes you can almost get a little angry, can't you? I mean, think about it. These men had leprosy. They had this flesh-eating disease, and Jesus healed them, and yet they did not even turn around to say, thank you. I'm sure Jesus, maybe if he was like us, would say, you're welcome. You know, you kind of had a flesh-eating disease, and you were banished from the city, and I healed you. You'd say thank you. Of course, he mentions that here to the one that came back. How could these men be so ungrateful? Leprosy was a disease that you would never want to get. It's a flesh-eating disease, and that's bad enough, but then it's also highly contagious, which often meant banishment. And you would have thought that all these men, after they were healed, they would have come rushing back to Jesus like this one and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. But only one came back. Only one. The other nine took this blessing for granted. And it sounds a lot like our society today, doesn't it? But unfortunately, many do have the same mentality here, and even Christians take God for granted, take His blessings for granted, His favor, His promises, His word, His Holy Spirit. We take our health, our provision, our finances, our relationship with the Lord. We take all these things for granted. When's the last time you got out of bed and stood up and just said, thank you, Lord, I get to enjoy another day. Thank you, Lord, I was able to get up out of bed today. You know, these lepers were outcasts. They were separated. They were alienated from society. I can't imagine how lonely they would have felt as they stood off, afar off with this highly contagious disease. Look at verse 11 and 12. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men, that were lepers, which stood afar off. They had this contagious disease. Imagine not being allowed to go into your town. Imagine not being allowed to go into your neighborhood. But we see here this common tragedy drew them together. It also drew them together to cry out to God, to cry out to Jesus. Look at verse 13. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This common tragedy brought them together, but then also brought them together in a way where they would cry out to Jesus. This past week, we celebrated Veterans Day and recognized men and women that took a great sacrifice to serving their country. Some are still serving. And I mentioned to you that I had a friend of mine in Pensacola. He wasn't a student that I worked with at Choice Point Precision Marketing, that after September 11th happened, he was compelled to join the Navy. Think about that, 32 years old. He wasn't, 20, 22. 32, he joined the Navy because of what happened on September 11th. And the thing that made me think about that was that common tragedy brought this country together, didn't it? Whether it was the left or the right or liberal or conservative, it brought this country together. There was even liberal TV stations that were saying, pray for this country. That common tragedy brought this country together. But then it brought to mind, how long? About 6 months. About 6 months, and then this ungrateful attitude started to reappear in this country, started to expose itself. But that common tragedy brought this country together. So today, to keep focus on being thankful, first we have to realize that we have a common affliction. We have a common affliction. Looking back in verses 11 and 12, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Our affliction causes our separation. You know, these men were afflicted by the disease of leprosy, and that affliction caused them separation from their families and from their friends and from the city. Anyone that approached them, they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." Imagine that. Having to be banished and be afar off and couldn't have any relationship, close relationship, couldn't hug anyone. Well, our affliction is sin. And that sin separates us from a holy and righteous God. That sin separates us from the Holy Spirit. That separation can ultimately separate us from brothers and sisters in Christ. How many people do you know that just once they started getting involved a little bit in sin, and then it kind of snowballed and got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they were coming to church every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and then Wednesday night went away, and then Sunday night went away, and then Sunday school went away, and then all of a sudden, you know, they weren't even coming to church. Because sin will separate us not only from God, but it can separate us from brothers and sisters in Christ. Imagine if every time we committed sin, we've talked about some other religions and how they believe that, you know, that you commit a sin, you lose your salvation, you're going to get saved again. Well, it would be tiring, wouldn't it? Having to get saved over and over and over and over every time we sin. I was talking to someone else and they made the point, what happens if you happen to sin and all of a sudden, you're snuffed out before you had a chance to get saved again? But imagine if every time we sinned, we had to yell out, "I'm unclean! I'm unclean! Don't come near me! I've sinned! I'm unclean!" Imagine every time we had to do that. Hopefully today, if anything, we leave out of here thankful for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the forgiveness that we get from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, and I appreciate this passage of Scripture. Us being able to see the heart of Isaiah. Man, I'd have to imagine that we would probably all feel the same way when we were able to see God in all of His glory, how perfect He is, and how unclean we really are. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.'" I really appreciate Isaiah here as he then reflects on himself and says, no, I can't be amongst you, Lord, because I am unclean. And I live amongst the people that are unclean. I can't be in your presence, Lord. Are we thankful for the mercy and grace of God this morning, who loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross so that we could have the forgiveness of sins? You know, leprosy was a flesh-eating disease, but sin is a spirit-eating disease. And guess what? Good news. Good news. If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know what you can shout today? Clean by the power of the Lamb. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. Are we thankful for the cleansing power of Jesus this morning? We also have to realize, second, that we have a common need. We have a common need. Going back to our text in Luke chapter 17, verses 13 and 14. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know, they needed the Lord's healing, physically and also spiritually. You know, these lepers came to Jesus needing physical healing, but more importantly than that, they needed spiritual healing. But only one received it. Only one received it. Look at verse 19. And he said unto them, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." You know, we'll often go to the Lord for maybe someone else who has a physical or health need. We may go to the Lord if we have a physical or health need. And it's important that we should do that. I'm not trivializing that in any way. We should definitely go boldly before the throne of God on the behalf of others or ourselves if we do have a physical or health need. But when was the last time we went because someone had a spiritual need? When's the last time we cried out to God because we had a brother or a sister or parents or children or aunts and uncles or cousins that had a physical, had a spiritual need? When's the last time we cried out to God because we had a spiritual need? When's the last time we thanked the Lord for his mercy? We talk about God's grace a lot. That he gave us something that we didn't deserve. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve forgiveness. But he gave it to us. So we sing Amazing Grace. When's Amazing Mercy? When's that song going to be written? That he didn't give us what we do deserve. Because we're all sinners. Listen, we all look great today, but we're all sinners, amen? Well, some of us are. We're all sinners. We need to thank God for his grace, yes, but also his mercy and the fact that he's not giving us what we do deserve. He could constantly be punishing us and chastising us, but he doesn't. In his love and his mercy and his grace, he showers upon us that we can get healing from spiritual situations. In our spiritual lives and in our health, when it needs to be refreshed, when we need to be cleansed. He does that as well. You know, we tell our kids thank you, don't we? We say, you know, make sure you say thank you. We tell them because it's manners, right? We say, make sure you say thank you. But how special is the genuine thank you? Maybe it's the thank you that mom and dad didn't have to provoke the kid to say. Or maybe the adult. The genuine thank you. Well, when's the last time we genuinely thank the Lord for his forgiveness? Or have we gotten to the place like society where because we know that he gives it to us, we take it for granted? Is that where we are in our lives? I appreciate Paul's transparency here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So go ahead and turn there, please. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 6. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 6. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. In other words, I'm thankful for infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, the Lord's saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, be thankful for my love, for my mercy, for my grace, for my forgiveness. Paul was thankful because when he was weak, he could lean on God and then become strong. Are we trying to do it in our own strength? Or are we relying on God and going to God to give us strength where we're weak? Are we thankful this morning for the Lord meeting our needs, but not just physically, but spiritually? Third, we have to realize that we need a common faith. We need a common faith. Going back to our text, we need a common faith. Starting in verse 14, it says, when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save or except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, faith is vital to our healing, whether physical or spiritual. You know, one leper had faith. One leper worshiped the Messiah and he was healed physically and spiritually. But we see that he was genuinely thankful. Back in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice glorifying God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Only one came back not only to thank him, but we see that he genuinely thanked him. He fell down on his face. He fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And I tell you what, listen, if I had leprosy, that would have been me, amen? I don't know how many here stayed for, I guess it was maybe 2 weeks ago, the adult Sunday school lesson in here that Brother Doug taught, and he showed pictures of what leprosy looked like in people where they were missing fingers, and it's just hurt. And these men were healed from this dreadful disease that attacked their flesh, attacked their body, caused them to be separated from the family, from the forgiveness of sin. The last time we dropped down on our knees, some may be able to do it for physical reasons, but you know what? You drop down on your knees and you're man. You can't drop your knees down. See your pew. When's the last time we fell on our face and thankful for our life? Thankful for the salvation, the thankful vision, and the thankful for Christ. When's the last drop on our knees, God, and we're genuinely thankful for our salvation, for our health, for our family, for the blessings He gives us, for our provisions, for His love, for His mercy, for His grace? When's the last time we, remember, going back to what the definition is, it's expressing gratitude and appreciation. When's the last time we expressed it? You know, this leper's faith made him whole. Are we whole this morning? Are we thankful? Are we willing to come out of our comfort zone and express gratitude and appreciation to the Lord? And listen, I'm not saying that because I want the whole church to run up to the altar. If you can express gratitude and appreciation from your seat or from your home or from your bedroom, that's all I'm talking about. We need to genuinely thank the Lord for everything that He's done in our life, that He loved us so much that He would send His only begotten Son to take our place, to die on the cross for our sins, so that not only we can have eternal life, but for this. Thank Him, our time here, thankful for our salvation, for our health, for our family, for what He gives us, for our provisions, for His love, for His mercy, for His grace. When's the last time we... Remember, going back to what the definition is, it's expressing gratitude and appreciation. When's the last time we expressed it? You know, this leper's faith made him whole. Are we whole this morning? Are we thankful? Are we willing to come out of our comfort zone and express gratitude and appreciation to the Lord? And listen, I'm not saying that because I want the whole church to run up to the altar. If you can express gratitude and appreciation from your seat or from your home or from your bedroom, that's all I'm talking about. Is that we need to genuinely thank the Lord for everything that He's done in our life, that He loved us so much that He would send His only begotten Son take our place, to die on the cross for our sins, so that not only we can have eternal life, but forgiveness. We're going to be the one this morning.